Certainly appreciate Brother Leonard's prayer, just reminding us how blessed we are, physically, spiritually speaking. As you look outside, it's really encouraging to see that the grass is green, remembering that we're right in the middle of August, and so that's such an encouraging thing to see, to be able to look outside and to see the green grass, to see the green trees, but also to be reminded how blessed we are spiritually speaking, to be here this morning as the children of God, to have this privilege of being able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. What a joy and what a blessing it is to be a New Testament Christian. Last week I presented a lesson on forgiveness. And the first thing that we stated in that lesson was this: we are never more like our God than when we forgive. You see, the priority of forgiveness is given in Scripture, first of all, in parables. We have the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18. Both of those parables teach us how important it is to forgive one another. The priority of forgiveness is given in Scripture, not only in parable, but number two, in principle. We see this in so many passages, but one passage that I may highlight for you this morning is Ephesians 4, verse number 32, where Paul says, "Be kind one toward another. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And then number three, the priority of forgiveness is also given in Scripture, in practice, in parable, in principle, and as we will see from the book of Philemon this morning, in practice. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. If I was to ask you, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about the book of Philemon? You would probably say, "Brother Clay, that is one of Paul's shortest letters." And I would agree with you. We are looking at a very short letter. But in this short letter is a plea for forgiveness. As you read this short letter, you will not find the word forgiveness or restoration explicitly, but implicitly the principles of forgiveness are there. You see, the story of Philemon from start to finish is a beautiful story on forgiveness. And so this morning we're going to spend some time in the book of Philemon. Lord willing, next week we will conclude this series of lessons on forgiveness from the book of Philemon. But what I would like for us to do as we begin looking at this story is, in order to help us get our finger on the pulse of this story, I just want to quickly go through these verses. Now, we're not going to read the entire book of Philemon this morning, but I would say that this is probably a familiar story. I'm thinking that probably most of us in here this morning have read through the book of Philemon, and so we can mention a few things to help us get our finger on the pulse of this story, and then we'll consider a few points that will help us think through this subject of forgiveness. Well, as you turn to the book of Philemon, as I said, it is a very short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration. And as you begin to read this beautiful story, we learn about an individual by the name of Philemon. And you can see from just the first few verses that Philemon was very active in the ministry. In fact, we learn that the church, the people of God, were meeting in his house. They didn't have a building like we're meeting in this morning. The church would come together into one place in Philemon's house to worship God. And you'll also notice from the text in verse number 7 that the brethren's hearts were refreshed because of Philemon. Again, you see how the Lord was using this great brother in God's service. Oh, Philemon was a great individual. We also learn from this story that Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus. And even though Onesimus was employed by a good family, we see that Onesimus is going to run away. And he's going to run away to one of the biggest cities at that time. He is going to depart from Philemon and he's going to come to Rome. Scholars tell us that there were over 1 million people in the city of Rome. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because as you continue to go through the story, the text indicates that Onesimus appears to have wronged Philemon in some way. It might be that Onesimus took something from Philemon that was of some value. You think about how Onesimus would get to Rome. It wasn't cheap at that time. It would be very expensive. And it might be that Onesimus had taken something from Philemon in order to get to Rome. But I believe you also see a picture of God's providence. Perhaps God working behind the scenes, and even the Apostle Paul, I believe in verse number 15, is going to point to God's providence. God working behind the scenes because, again, Onesimus comes to one of the biggest cities, and guess who he comes into contact with? He comes into contact with the Apostle Paul, who's incarcerated. And as the story continues, we see that the Apostle Paul is going to persuade Onesimus to become a Christian. Paul persuades Onesimus to obey the gospel. Onesimus' life transforms, and Onesimus now becomes profitable. And Paul loved Onesimus. You'll notice from verse number 10, Paul viewed Onesimus as a son in the faith. But even though Paul wanted Onesimus to stay with him and to minister unto him and to help him in proclaiming the gospel, Paul knew that Onesimus had to go back home. He knew that the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus wasn't right. Philemon was a good man. Onesimus had wronged Philemon, and they needed to work things out. And so Paul is going to send Onesimus back to Philemon. Not only does Paul send Onesimus back home, back to Philemon, Paul is going to write this letter by inspiration. He's going to write this letter to Philemon, and he's going to send it with Onesimus. And so Paul sends him back with this letter that essentially says, Philemon, you need to forgive this guy. You need to be merciful to Onesimus. You need to treat Onesimus the way that Christ has treated you. You forgive him just like Christ has forgiven you. And so, from the book of Philemon, we learn how to be a forgiver. What we will do from the book of Philemon this morning is we're going to mention two major points. Lord willing, we'll mention the third major point from the book of Philemon next week. This morning we're going to first of all look at the spiritual character of a forgiver. And then secondly, we will look at the spiritual action of a forgiver. Again, the spiritual character and the spiritual action that must be taken when we forgive someone. And then Lord willing, next week we will look at the spiritual motivation behind forgiveness from the book of Philemon. And so notice the question this morning as we consider the spiritual character of one who forgives. What kind of person forgives? What kind of person has the capacity to forgive someone? Well, let's look at Philemon verse 4 and 5. Listen to what Paul says as he writes this letter. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, now listen to this, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now what we see from these verses as we begin to discuss the spiritual character of one who forgives. A person who forgives, first of all, has a concern for the Lord. You will see that in verse number 5. A person who forgives has a concern for the Lord. Everything that the Apostle Paul hears about Philemon is good. We might say that Philemon has a real faith, a genuine faith. Philemon is concerned about pleasing the Lord in everything that he does. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, we're encouraged to have this kind of concern for the Lord, this kind of a genuine faith. When the Apostle Paul says again in 1 Timothy 1, verse number 5, now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a genuine faith. Love out of a pure heart, Paul says, and a genuine faith. You see, a person like Philemon who has a genuine faith is going to want to do the Lord's will. There's no question in my mind that that's the kind of individual Philemon was. And Paul has no problem asking Philemon, hey, I want you to take Onesimus back, because Paul knew the kind of faith that this man had. The kind of faith that had a genuine concern in doing the Lord's will, having a desire to do what is right. I believe this desire is also seen in the psalm that we mentioned this morning, in Psalm 143, verse number 10, where the psalmist says, Lord, teach me to do thy will. You see, a person who has a genuine faith can be taught by the Lord. And as we've been talking about, when it comes to forgiveness, this isn't an option. Forgiving one another is not a suggestion. You see, it is a command of God. And if we have a concern for the Lord, we're going to be concerned. We're going to be tuned in to doing what is right. As we mentioned from Ephesians 4, verse number 32, Paul says, you be kind to one another. You be tender-hearted to one another. You forgive one another. There's that command. And so we see the spiritual character of one who forgives. One who forgives has a concern for the Lord. Not only a concern for the Lord, but a concern for others. Notice again verse number 5. Philemon, I hear of your love and faith which you have, number 1, toward the Lord. There's our first point. And number 2, toward all saints. Not only does Philemon love the Lord, Philemon loves the brethren. He loves these people of God that are coming together every first day of the week, that are worshiping God. He loves the family of God. Brethren, that's the kind of love that we are to have one toward another. We are to be concerned for one another. And I believe you also see this in Peter's words in 1 Peter 1, verse number 22, when Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice that. See that you love one another with a pure heart. If you want a picture of that, and I love word pictures, a lot of times we turn back to the Old Testament to see those word pictures. But if you want a New Testament word picture of what it means and what it looks like to really love one another, read the book of Philemon. Here's an individual who loves God and who loves others. You know, a question that we might ask is, well, I know we're commanded to love one another, but how do I know that my love is real? How do I really know that I love God and that I really love my brethren? Again, look at Philemon. And notice how he put that love into action. Question, where was his focus? Talking about Philemon, where was his focus? Was his focus on himself, or was his focus on others? It's obvious as you began to read this short letter, his focus is on the brethren. His focus is on others. And when my focus is on others, I know that my love for others is real. Don't you love what Paul says about Philemon in verse number 7? Philemon, because of your love, the brethren's hearts are refreshed. If you're like Philemon, you'll have a concern for the Lord, and you will have concern for others. And when your love for others is real, like Philemon's, you will have no problem in learning to forgive as we are commanded to do. Sometimes, when it comes to forgiveness, the focus may be on us. I'm the one that got offended. Look at the focus of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 when you think about the older brother. You remember how the father received the youngest son? He came to his spiritual senses. He acknowledged his sin. His father was there with open arms, received him back. But his older brother was pouting. Why? Because his focus was on himself. Again, when we have spiritual character, as we're talking about from the book of Philemon, we're going to have a concern for God. We're going to have concern for others. And number 3, from verse number 6, we're going to have a genuine concern for fellowship. If you're genuine, you're going to have a real concern for fellowship. That's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4, verse number 3, when he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That passage has unity. That context has unity written all over it. Think about Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In order for there to be unity, there has to be fellowship. Now in Ephesians 4, verse number 2, you see that idea of fellowship. And that idea of how we treat one another. We're to be patient and gentle and long-suffering to one another. Forgiving one another. Again, when there's fellowship, there is unity. Now go back to verse number 6, because verse number 6 is an amazing verse. Let me read it again. Listen to what Paul says to Philemon. That the communication of thy faith, listen to the language, may become effectual. Philemon, I want the fellowship of your faith, listen to it, to become effective. That has the idea to have a powerful impact. How would Philemon have a powerful impact on the other brethren? How would Philemon have a powerful impact on others? By forgiving Onesimus. By taking Onesimus back. Remember what Onesimus has done. Do you realize, according to Roman law, Onesimus could have been beaten. He could have been put to death, according to Roman law. But Paul is encouraging Philemon to receive Onesimus, to take him back, not only as a servant, as we will see in the text, but as a beloved brother in Christ. Forgiving Onesimus. Forgiving him and what he has done. And Paul says, by doing that, you are going to have a powerful impact on others. And so as we think about the first few verses in the book of Philemon, we see the spiritual character of one who forgives. A person who forgives has a genuine concern for the Lord. They have a genuine concern for others, and they have a genuine concern for the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ. And if we understand fellowship, which brings about unity, we're not going to hold grudges. We are going to forgive one another like God has forgiven us. Well, for just a few minutes, let's talk about the second point. Let's talk about the spiritual action of a forgiver. And as we look at verses 10 through 18, there are three things that are involved in forgiveness. And we're going to basically highlight three words. And as we highlight these three words, these three words will really help us see the spiritual action of one who forgives. Well, as we look at verses 10 through verse number 14, we see the word reception. We see the word reception. Let's look at these verses together and then we'll talk about this word reception. Paul says in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. What is Paul talking about? Whom I've begotten? He's talking about Onesimus' conversion. How Onesimus obeyed the gospel. How he was baptized into Christ, having his sins washed away. Now becoming a child of God. And Paul says this has happened while I've been in prison. You see, Paul taught others while he was in prison. Verse number 10. In verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable because he ran away from you, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore, here's our word, receive him. That is, mine own bowels, my own heart, In other words, you receive Onesimus, Philemon, like you would receive me. And again, Paul's going to, by the way, is going to talk about that relationship that existed between him and Philemon. We'll see that, Lord willing, next week. But you receive him. That is, mine own bowels, verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul says, I really wanted Onesimus to stay here with me because Onesimus was such an encouragement to Philemon. Remember, Paul is in prison. And you know the joy that this young man brought to Paul's life. What Paul wanted more than anything is for Onesimus to stay right there, to stay put in Rome. But Paul knew that it was needful, that it would be better for Onesimus to go back home and to get this worked out. And so, verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Look at verse number 14 carefully. Because as we look at 10 through 14 again, we see the word reception. The action of a forgiver. In other words, when you forgive somebody, you receive them back. You open their arms. Now again, as I said, I like these word pictures. And we don't have time to look at these word pictures. But again, the parable of the prodigal son. You see how the father received his son when he came to his spiritual senses. But did the older brother receive the younger brother? No, he didn't. He was angry. He was furious. You see an individual holding grudges and pouting about the situation. Again, the action of forgiveness. When we forgive, we are to receive them back. The idea is we are to, and again, the word picture, we're to open our arms like the father did with the prodigal son. You receive them back. Second word picture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 along with 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you have a brother, we might say, or we should say, a brother who was walking disorderly, living in fornication. The church at Corinth wasn't doing anything about it. They were puffed up. Paul says a little leaven will leaven a whole lump. Paul wanted the congregation to take action against that brother that was walking disorderly. They were to withdraw that fellowship. And Paul speaks in terms of fellowship when he says, I don't want you to even eat with such an individual who claims to be a Christian but is living in darkness. Don't even have a common meal with that individual so that he will be shamed, so that he will come to his spiritual senses, so that he will come back home. Well, as you think through that letter and as you go into the second letter, obviously the congregation took action against that brother. But you know, sometimes we end the story there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes a second letter. And I believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is talking about the same individual. And Paul is now saying, you receive him back. And by receiving him back, you're confirming your love for him. Here's an individual in the church that came to his spiritual senses. He came back like the prodigal son. But Paul had to encourage the brethren, had to write them a letter to encourage the congregation to receive that brother back like we are seeing here in the book of Philemon. The action of a forgiver. One who forgives will receive that individual back. Look at verse number 15 and 16. As you look at verse number 15 and 16, we see the second word. The second word is the word restoration. Look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee. Now listen to it. Both in the flesh and in the Lord. Philemon, not only do you open your arms back and receive him back, here's the idea of restoration. You put him back into service. Philemon, you are going to benefit from this. Benefit from what? Benefit from forgiving Onesimus. And here it is. You're going to benefit in a physical way. You will receive him back as a servant. But not only as a servant, you're going to benefit from this spiritually speaking. Philemon, you're gaining a brother in Christ in all of this. Oh, and this really helps us grasp the relationship that we have with one another. Do you realize that our spiritual relationship with one another in a lot of ways supersedes the physical relationship that we have with others? Do you see why Paul is encouraging Philemon to open his arms to Onesimus, to receive him back, to put him back into service? Another way of saying all of that is to forgive Onesimus. And very quickly, notice the third word. In verses 17 and 18, as we read verses 17 and 18, we will see the word restitution. We've looked at the word reception, restoration, but verses 17 and 18, we will see the word restitution. Verse 17 and 18, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he, speaking of Onesimus, hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, listen to Paul, you put it on my account. Brethren, restitution is an essential component of forgiveness. Under the old law, Numbers chapter 15, when somebody transgressed against you, restitution had to be made. And the old law legislated the law of restitution. What was to be paid back? And the old law was very specific. But more than likely, Onesimus was coming back empty-handed. Probably didn't have anything, but Paul encourages Philemon, listen, I'm sending Onesimus. You treat him like you would treat me. You welcome him like you would welcome me. You, here it is again, you forgive him like you would forgive me. You see, friends, there would be absolutely nothing wrong with Philemon to say to Onesimus, I know you have wronged me, but you became a Christian. You obeyed the gospel. Your sins are washed away. And you know what, brother? I graciously forgive you. One person said, the best kind of restitution is sheer forgiveness. And that's what we see, I believe, in this beautiful story. Paul's shortest letter, a plea on forgiveness. We see the spiritual character of one who forgives in the book of Philemon. One who has a concern for the Lord, a concern for others, a concern for fellowship. We also see the spiritual action of one who forgives. That individual opens their arms and receives them back and treats them just the way God treated them. You know, brethren, it really boils down to this. A failure to forgive boils down to selfishness. It really boils down to selfishness when we fail to forgive one another. You see, the absence of forgiveness makes us unfit to worship our God. And we see this in Matthew chapter 5, where we are encouraged to leave our gift at the altar and go and first be reconciled with our brother. What is Jesus encouraging us to do in Matthew chapter 5? To forgive one another. And ultimately, we should forgive one another because God has forgiven us. Again, the priority of forgiveness is seen in Scripture as we've been looking at, as we first said, in parable, in principle, but thirdly, from the book of Philemon, in practice. And I hope each one of us will put this into practice, because if we want God to forgive us, we must be willing to forgive one another. And as we said, sometimes forgiveness is not easy. It's not fair. But we are commanded to forgive. And I believe next week's lesson will help you to be that kind of person, as we will talk about the spiritual motivation behind forgiveness from the book of Philemon. The lesson is yours. It might be that you're not a Christian. This morning,